Hello, well, it's time to pull up a chair and sit down at the table with Gail. I'm Peter Fleming, and I'm introducing Gail Hall, our resident cook here at Coast Access Radio 104.7, as if you didn't know. Hello, Gail.
Hello, Peter. Well, I think we're still in the really thick of the cold weather, and seeing it sometimes, you know, snow-capped Tararuas, and it still makes you feel like you just want to have a lovely bowl of soup. And this week, I have actually chosen char-grilled capsicum and gnocchi soup, which, you know, looks absolutely lovely. Now, these ones are going to go in your slow cooker, because we haven't had too many slow cooker recipes that you can walk out the door and leave this. So I've chosen two recipes today that you'll be using your slow cooker with, and the great machines. You've got one, Peter?
No, but I just stick things in the oven for,
for hours.
Long and slow.
Yeah, long and slow. Yeah, well, it does work the same. Mm. But anyway, for this one, we're going to have two red capsicums trimmed and quartered, one yellow capsicum trimmed and quartered, 125 mils or half a cup of water, that measures out, one tablespoon of oil, 500 grams of chicken tenderloins cut into pieces.
I asked this question the other day, and I ask it of myself every time. I go, tablespoonful of oil, what sort of oil? Is it vegetable, or would you use olive?
Well, you could use olive, yeah.
I'm always worried about a bit of flavour out of olive.
Yes, well, I wouldn't. Somebody said to me the other day, I can taste, use coconut oil. I said, no, I actually sprayed the baking pan with coconut oil, and it sort of came out into the baking.
Oh, right.
And so I've decided that I'm not going to use coconut oil for savoury baking and just use it for, you know, cake or muffins or whatever. But so I'd be a bit mindful of that. But otherwise, soya, veggie, like you say, oil, soya, oil, what else? There's olive, another one that I'm just trying to think of. But there's several different varieties. But a lot of people do use that coconut oil.
Yeah, and, I believe so, yeah.
But this is a spray can, which I, you know, spray all the pans with. So, you know, whatever oil you get. But if you've got one that's got a really distinctive taste, I sort of feel, maybe
wary.
Not.
Yeah.
And especially with the soup being, you know, capsicums. So one onion peeled and chopped, two garlic cloves peeled and crushed, one tablespoon of paprika, one teaspoon of caraway seeds, 1.5 teaspoons of cracked black pepper, 2 tablespoons of tomato paste, 6 cups of chicken stock, 250-gram pack of prepackaged gnocchi, sour cream to serve with chopped parsley. Now, first of all, what we're doing is we're going to place the capsicum quarters skin side up under a hot grill until the skin blisters. So don't walk away, please, when you do this. Just make sure that you're around. And when cool, peel away the skin and discard. Process the capsicum flesh and water in a food processor or a blender until smooth. Now, what we're going to do is heat the oil in a nonstick pan, add the chicken pieces, and cook over a medium heat until golden brown. Place chicken into a crockery bowl, and they do move out of the actual container, but that's where you're putting the chicken. Add onion to the pan, cook over a medium heat again until soft, stir in the garlic, paprika, caraway seeds, pepper, and tomato paste, and cook for 1 minute. Add capsicum mixture and stir until mixture is heated through. Now combine the pour the combined mixture and stock over the chicken in the bowl. Cover with a lid and on a low setting for 6 to 8 hours or high on 4 hours. So if you're going to be around the house, you might want to do that. But, you know, this 6 to 8 hours is just lovely because you don't have to worry about it boiling over or anything. It's just marvellous. And so you can go away for the full day and leave that on to 6 to 8 hours, this soup. Now stir gnocchi into the soup 15 or 20 minutes before the end of cooking. Replace the lid and continue cooking until the gnocchi has risen to the top of the soup. And that's what happens when you cook gnocchi. It does come to rise. You're an Italian fan of Italian food, aren't you, Peter?
I am, and I'm not. I'm not a fan of gnocchi.
Oh, okay. Because that's like a potato.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And then basically once that's ready, you're ladling the soup into serving bowls and top each with sour cream and parsley if you want. So nice and simple. I quite like capsicum. I like the flavour it cooked. I don't mind having it chopped up small raw either in a salad, but just a lovely soup that appealed to me, and the fact that it's in the slow cooker really appeals.
I think you should have put the word hearty in there.
Hearty.
It's not far off a stew, is it?
With the chicken in it as well. Yeah. And quite a good hearty soup, a meal, in fact.
Have you made it?
No, but something similar, because I do use my slow cooker, I must admit. I just think it's a wonderful invention, and it's right in my pantry, because you can get all sorts of gadgets, and you think, where am I going to put these? I've got a bread maker, that takes up a lot of room, and I don't make bread that often, but I keep looking at it and thinking, yes, I'm going to make bread shortly.
Well, we've got a bread maker, and it does sit on the top, and we haven't got a lot of space, so we don't have things like air fryers
or slow cookers.
But Claire does use it for making the dough for pizzas, you see.
Oh, right. So, oh, well, you're using it then.
Oh, we use it
definitely.
Once a week.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, great. Yeah, well, that's what I say too. If you're going to have big gadgets like that, make sure you use them, because I've got a few tucked away in the rice cooker and all that.
Golly,
I've learned how to do rice.
Yeah.
Yes, I think that'll be going to one of the charity shops soon. And basically, things like that, because they do clutter up.
Yeah. By the way, capsicum. We had a friend come over from England. You get capsicums in the UK. And she said, what do they call capiscopums?
Sorry.
I said, what?
You just
said,
about caught those, me with a mouthful of coffee then, Peter.
Those capiscopums.
I've never heard that before. Well, this recipe that I'm going to give this next is quite an involved one. So I don't know how long it's going to take us to actually get through this. But it's got an illustration and it just looked absolutely beautiful. And when I had a quick read, I saw that you make pineapple flowers, and that got me reading more, and it does look fabulous with these pineapple flowers. Now, this recipe, I mean, I'd be making just the pineapple flowers sometimes because they look so fabulous, but anyway, it goes with a recipe with a spice cake and some frosting and everything else. So we'll get on with it, Peter, I think, and
get
through
this. I think you better get on with it, yeah.
Yes, I think so, but what we need is, obviously, what's the first thing you think of? You need a fresh pineapple, of course. Yes, so basically, that's what you need. And that's to start off with. Then we have a spiced pineapple cake. And then we go to caramelized manuka honey frosting. So we'll start off with the ingredients for the spiced pineapple cake. 3 large eggs, 200 grams of caster sugar, 110 grams of soft brown sugar, 1/4 cup of avocado oil. Now, I was thinking about that with us talking about
oil
previously. Mm. We know there's lots of others. Because I'm not sure whether we've ever done a recipe, Peter, but I think we have, with avocados in it. I'm not sure. Down the track, we may have done. But if not, I might have to hunt one out. Because there's people, you know, there's recipes that you actually put avocados in cakes.
Yes,
but
okay,
anyway,
I believe that. Yep.
I'm not sure. We'll say 1/4 cup of avocado oil. I'm not sure what other oil you could possibly use for this cake. Maybe olive, I don't know. But this is what it's stating. 425 gram can of crushed pineapple in juice, undrained. 250 grams of plain flour, 50 grams of fine desiccated coconut. That's the fine one. I'm very good at buying the coarse one, which I don't really, you know, like using much because it gets between your teeth. That's the only reason. And 2 teaspoons of baking soda, 1.5 teaspoons of mixed spice, and a pinch of salt. So that is all your spiced cake ingredients.
You said there the pineapple in juice, undrained.
That's correct.
Oh, you've got it on here, it's drained, that's all.
Oh, have I? Oh, beg your pardon.
If
must have been in a hurry.
Transferred,
oh, yes, definitely. This was the last one I did, and I was probably under pressure. But anyway, we'll move on now that Peter's picked that out, so that's good. Caramelized manuka honey frosting is 1/4 cup of manuka honey, 80 mils of cream, 500 grams of cream cheese, and keep that always at room temperature, 75 grams of butter softened, and 85 grams of icing sugar sifted. So that's the complete ingredient for this beautiful cake. Now, we're going to start off with the pineapple flowers, because these need to be done. So preheat the oven to 100 degrees Celsius. So that's hardly turning your oven on, quite frankly. Cut the pineapple into very thin slices. And don't forget you have peeled it. And usually when you buy a pineapple, I think they have a little illustration on it how easy it is to peel. I have brought one that says that.
Oh, really?
Which way you go with the knife.
I just cut chunky skin off, because you're always left with bits, aren't you?
Well, you are, but this, you know, there is an illustration and I've seen it done, and it does, it comes off, you know, quite well. So if not, do it how you can, you know, with peeling it. But you're cutting it into thin slices. Put the slices on paper towels and pat dry to remove any excess moisture that you've got. Place on, I'm not sure how many slices you'll get, but you might need a couple of lined baking sheets, baking trays. Bake for 90 minutes. This surprised me because it was quite a long time. But remember, we are only using 100 degrees Celsius. So 90 minutes, turning over halfway through until dry and curling at the edges. Now that's the start of your flour. Okay. While the slices are still warm and pliable, remove from the baking sheet and put into muffin tin holes to shape into flowers. Now you're returning that back to the oven for 30 minutes more to just set in place. And remove to cool completely in the tin. And these will last up for 3 days stored in an airtight container. So quite impressive.
Well, that sounds fascinating to me.
Well, that's what fascinated me, Peter, when I saw that and read that. And I thought, might just do the flowers, never mind the cake. But anyway, we're moving on now to the spiced pineapple cake. So we're increasing the oven, of course, to 180 degrees Celsius. Grease 3. Now, the sponge springform cake tins, line the bases with them with baking papers, but they're usually the very... Oh, I'm trying to think of a figure of measurements in my mind about these baking, you know, when you're doing layers. The tins aren't very high. Or, you know, maybe 15 centimetres across and I'm just trying to think, 2 centimetres, maybe 3 centimetres high, I'm not sure. But basically, you need 3 of them anyway. Or less, if you're pretty good at it, you could bake one cake and then slice it into 3.
Yeah, you could.
But I'm not sure about that, how that would go. But anyway, in a mixing bowl, beat the eggs and sugars together with an electric mixer until creamy. Gently beat in the oil, pineapple, and juice. And all the dry ingredients and gently mix together until just combined. The mixture will be wet, won't be a dry mixture. And so this looks fancy, but when you think of it, Peter, it's quite easy.
It's a basic.
So far, it's basic.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah. Divide mixture evenly between the 3 cake tins and bake for 20 minutes until firm and golden brown. Now, that's an indication, 20 minutes, that these aren't very high cakes and, you know, they should cook in that time. And then once they've, if I said how much, 20 minutes until firm and golden, and remove from the tins and cool on a wire rack. Now, caramelized Manuka honey frosting. Put the honey in a small pot, set over a medium heat, simmer for 2 to 3 minutes or until the honey reaches a dark amber color. So just watch that, because that can have, you know, that can be quite swift, really. And immediately add the cream and whisk together to combine. Pour into a heat-proof container, set aside to cool, then chill. Beat the cream cheese until smooth. That's why you leave it at room temperature. It's it beats a lot better. And then add the cold honey mixture and beat together. Beat in the butter and icing sugar until whipped and creamy. So it probably look a little bit like whipped cream, except it will have a slight beautiful golden colour to it, I should imagine. Or,
it sounds absolutely wonderful.
It sounds lovely. And it really, you know, as I was saying, it doesn't look like a hard cake to make.
No, but that stuff's gone into there. Just Manuka honey, does it have to be Manuka? Is that
Well, it's called a Manuka, sliced pineapple with caramelised vinegar. Well, I'm not sure. Did we go back and does it have honey in the actual cake? No, it doesn't. So it's flavour, really, because we know that Manuka has definitely got some good flavour.
But it's expensive, is it?
It is.
I mean, I'm not saying that. But I have no idea. But
no, it is, of course. I thought that too. We're on the same wavelength because I sort of thought, Manuka honey, I wonder if you could use just ordinary honey.
Yeah.
And so your choice, but I think Manuka has got a definite flavour.
It's only a quarter of a cup if you can buy a small enough amount.
Well, that's right. A small enough amount's probably, you know, reasonably expensive too. So we're giving it to you, but you make your choice about the honey. And it will give it that sort of quite nice flavour. Now, to assemble, sandwich the cake layers together with the frosting. Spread more of the frosting on the top and around the sides of the cake, which I do if I'm doing a big cake anyway, and decorate with the pineapple flowers. This looks lovely. And it does serve 10. So it's quite big, and you could probably get 12 out because they, you know, wouldn't want a big hunk, really. But that look at that, Peter. I mean, that looks pretty exquisite. Look at those flowers.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, it does look good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'll sure look forward to a piece of that next week, Gail, when you bring it in.
Oh, sorry, Peter, I won't be here.
Oh, crisis.
Crisis unfolds.
I shall catch up with you somewhere.
Sometime when I get back.
that sounds nice, and it does look very nice. And those the flower idea with the pineapples.
Yeah, when you look at them closely, actually, which I'm doing now, they just like real flowers.
Yeah.
Mm.
All right. Well, there we are. We're perhaps a little bit longer on the first half than usual, but not to worry. Now, well, do you need to ask, what's the music about this week? All this talk about pineapples.
Oh, just have a guess, listeners. Just have a guess.
Have a guess. You'll pick the magic words out, and I'll just play it now and see what you think, and we'll ask you afterwards. It's one we could move about gently on the dance floor, Gail. It's not a rock and roll, it's not a waltz, but you feel you want to do something to it.
Oh, it's a bit boppy.
It is a bit boppy, so shall we just have a little bop?
Oh, yeah.
Watch your knee.
It's a curious thing. You can take it or leave it, but you
And there we are. I said it was a bit of a boppy tune, didn't I?
Did they pick out the magic word?
Well, it's called the Pineapple Song, and it was by the James Clark Five.
A group that I haven't heard for a long time, and actually I quite enjoyed it.
I thought it was pretty good, yeah. I was quite surprised when I found that.
Back in time, Peter.
When you look for songs for fruit and that, a lot of them are for kids, you see. Or there's some rap stuff, which we're not really into.
No, we're not into rap. Sorry about that. No. Doesn't always go with our cooking.
No, rap's just for putting things in and wrapping them up.
Yeah. Right, we're going to kick off with this one, Sweet Orange Pork, Peter. And I quite like pork, but I don't eat it that often. But this one is another slow cooker one. So get out that slow cooker. This is a great one for a meal. 1.5 tablespoons of oil, 1 medium onion peeled and sliced, 1.5 lean pork steaks halved, 1.5 tablespoons of plain flour, 400 grams of kumara peeled and cubed, 1.5 tablespoons of butter, 1 teaspoon of ground cumin, 1 teaspoon of ground cardamom, and 1 teaspoon of ground cinnamon. Now, I always thought that was cardamom, but when I put it into my phone, it spell checked it for me. So I never knew you spelled cardamom with a mom at the end of it. Yeah, I never realised that, but now I know. I'll never make a mistake again. 1 teaspoon of ground cinnamon, if I didn't say that. 1/2 teaspoon of fennel seeds. 1/4 cup of brown sugar. 1.5 tablespoons of lemon juice. 3 tablespoons of sweet cherry. 1 cup of orange juice. 1 cup of chicken stock. And 2 teaspoons of grated orange rind. So lovely lot of mixture there. Heat 1/2 the oil in a non-stick pan, add onion and cook over a medium heat until golden brown. Now you remove the onion from the pan and just set aside. Coat the meat with the flour. Remove any excess flour, or I don't think there's much fat on a pork steak, but if there is, just remove it if there is any there. I can't imagine that there would be. Heat remaining oil in the non-stick pan again. Cook meat in batches over a medium heat until light brown. Well, yeah, batches. I suppose you probably get 2 halves or 3 halves of a pork steak in one batch. So we're always reminding you just cook in small batches because that way it seals the meat up lovely. Place the onion, meat and kumara in the removable crockery bowl, which is of your slow cooker. Melt butter in a non-stick pan. Stir in the cumin, cardamom, cinnamon, fennel seeds, brown sugar, lemon juice, sherry, orange juice, stock and rind. In fact, just about all the other ingredients. And cook over a medium heat until heated through. Pour the spice mixture over the meat and vegetables in your crockery bowl. Cover with the lid and cook on a low setting, like we mentioned before, 6 to 8 hours if you do want to leave it all day, or high setting for 4 hours. And then serve that with beautiful buttered noodles and or salad greens. Sounds lovely. Yeah, and that's a main dish.
Yeah, it does sound nice, actually, but unfortunately, as I've said before, I'm not very keen on kumara. But
you can replace that with something else anyway,
well,
Peter.
That's
potato.
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, it doesn't have to be kumara, does it?
No, that's right.
In fact, we've got a turnip in the fridge at the moment. Claire bought the other day. There was a programme. Oh, it was Country Calendar. People growing turnips.
Okay.
Saying, well, they used to be for sort of cattle food, but
yeah,
we
that's
be
right.
So
yeah, exactly.
We've got a turnip.
So how do you cook your turnip?
I think you're doing just the same as potatoes.
Oh, just boil it. Yeah.
Well, I've gone off boiling altogether. I'm a microwave man now.
Oh, okay.
Or potatoes. Oh, cut them up, put them in.
Oh, yeah.
Through the ricer. You know what a ricer is.
Oh, yes, I do. I meant to bring my lemon squeezer in for you to look at too, actually, because you said, oh, what do you do about the pips? And I said, ha-ha.
Mine doesn't...
Give the pips away. It just gives the juice. So I must remember to bring that in.
Bring it in
next week.
You show me yours and I'll show you mine.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I've seen yours. Oh. The rice.
Right. Here we go again.
Right.
Right. Pull yourself together.
Yes. Pull yourself together.
Right.
Right. Okay. Use of pastry. Have we got time?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh. you got a good five minutes
good.
Over there.
Oh, good,
yeah,
good, good. Go. Oh, right. That's good. That's working out well then.
Right, I'm going to kick you off now and I'll see what I can make of this lot.
Right, okay. Now, this isn't exactly a recipe, listeners, but it's the use of pastry. Now, I've actually done this, so I know that it works. And I thought it'd be very interesting for you to know that you can actually do this. Now, ready-made pastry sheets, you know, like that you can buy, such as puff and or short crust, are ideal for making quick and easy desserts. Now, I've done this because I have got a toasty pie maker. Not a sandwich maker, toasty pie, because the toasty pie's got the little indentation in it. And this is really great. So you're preheating it, of course, you know, you're preheating your toasty pie machine, and you're simply placing one half of the pastry sheet onto the cooking plate. And it has to be preheated because, you know, pastry needs high heat. Then form a hollow. Once you've put the piece on, form a hollow and spoon in your choice of pie filling. Now, I've made these with stewed apple. And if you feel like there's too much liquid in the apple, just drain it with a sieve or something like that, because you don't need it too sort of sloppy. So if cooked apple I'm talking about, not raw, because I don't think in 5 or 6 minutes that would actually cook. And it wouldn't taste so good grated. Yeah. And anyway, so that's what you're doing, and you're putting it in the middle, top with the remaining pastry half, and close the lid. Now, you're cooking that for approximately 6 minutes until golden brown. And honestly, that is it. You can just lift the toasty pie maker up and have a look and see what it's doing. But best to me, I mean, you can make this even an hour before your guests arrive or you want something sweet. Look, honestly, 5 or 6 minutes, keep an eye on it. Great, great little dessert.
So can you, when you say that, could you use it for savoury?
Yes, you
I
could.
I mean, you've got, you obviously like have cooked chicken or something.
Yeah, yeah, you could.
Just works the same.
Definitely would work the same. I haven't done it with savoury, but why not?
Well, worth a try, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit of cooked bacon. And then just put the raw egg in it.
Well, there you go, yeah.
Cook up the bacon, plop a raw egg, pepper and salt on the top, put the lid on, bring the toasting machine lid down.
Well, there's a little project for you over the weekend.
It's quite just a quick luncheon.
Or breakfast.
Or breakfast, exactly.
Well, there we are. That's worth trying, isn't it?
It is worth trying.
Well, Gail, we thought we were a bit worried about the time today. We've come out okay. I just make a little mention here.
Oh, yes.
Because I did rave on a bit about the lasagna rolls the other day.
I see it.
Well, we had half of them on Tuesday night, and there was quite, like most of your recipes, it feeds an army, you know. So
yeah.
We kept the other in the fridge and just warmed it up last night. Now, I didn't warm it up very well. I put it in the oven and I should have, and then I had to microwave it. But it didn't matter too much.
Oh, no,
it was still
it's
fine.
Not really a pastry, is
no,
it?
No, no,
it's
no,
a
no,
lasagna.
No. In fact, the softer it went, the better.
Yeah.
And it's just absolutely delicious. So if you know, lovely meal, that one. But bit of a problem with the pasta, as I said. It was a bit tough.
You said that.
Spoke to somebody else, a friend of my wife's, and she said, oh, well, if you're buying it from the supermarket fresh, buy the more expensive, proper Italian stuff, the local produce or whatever. So that might be I can't rate it highly enough.
Well, there you are. It's another one of Peter's successes, just like his cheese and white sauce that I think it goes at the top of the list for me for making. And now we've got this lovely lasagna.
I can't take the credit. You've come up with the recipe.
No, but you've got to cook it. It's all in the cooking.
Oh, well, a lot of it in the cooking. Anyway, there we are then. And don't forget your capiscopums.
Yeah, that's from somebody from overseas that can't say capsicums.
All right, I'm going to turn you off.
Oh, gee, that's bad.
Having turned you on, I'm going to turn you off. All right, Gail. You away next? You're going away, are you?
Next week I'm here.
Well, it won't interrupt the programme anyway, because
no.
we're stacking a few in the cupboard, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
All right, thank you, Gail. Well
thank
done.
Thank you.
Bye for now.
Bye.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.